Alone, we are strong. Together, we are stronger. Anonymous.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Hello and welcome to the Essential Oil Revolution. I'm your host, Samantha Lee Wright. Thanks for tuning in. Today on our show, we talk to the Instagram famous board certified pediatrician, Dr. Joel Warsh, also known as Dr. Joel Gator. We talk a lot about autonomy on this show and being responsible for your own health. And today's interview is going to give you so many powerful insights and tools to really take that into practice. Dr. Warsh is a huge fan of essential oils, and we talk a lot today about the appropriate use of essential oils for kids and for people in general when you're weighing those pros and cons of medications versus sticking it out or alternative medicine. That's today on our show, but first, let's pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout. Today's DIY dugout recipe comes from Janet Dean in Wrightwood, California. Her recipe is called Belly Blues. To make the Belly Blues, you'll need 3 drops copaiba, 1 drop peppermint, and a tiny bit of carrier oil of choice. Combine ingredients and put on your belly button when your stomach is keeping you up at night. Thank you so much for your recipe, Janet. We appreciate you. If you have your own recipe, send it to us at DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com. In your email, just include your name, where you're from, or your website, and your original recipe that involves essential oils. That's it. Now, on to the show.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not-so-happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life, and it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of a life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
Well, I'm here with Joel Warsh, also known as Dr. Joel Gator of the Popular Parenting Instagram. He is a board-certified pediatrician in Los Angeles, California, who specializes in parenting, wellness, and integrative medicine, and is the founder of Raising Amazing. Dr. Warsh, it's so wonderful to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat about all things essential oils and kids' health, and looking forward to getting into it.
I am as well. I have to say, as a former somewhat social media influencer turned basically, you know, dark on the internet because I couldn't handle it anymore, as I think a lot of people can relate to the emotionality of the internet. Your Instagram account is such a breath of fresh air. It is just a very, very peaceful, illuminating, encouraging, positive place. And that's kind of rare these days. So I just want to thank you for that and congratulate you on being able to navigate into that space. It's not easy.
Thanks. Yeah, it's a lot of fun social media these days. I mean, it's unfortunate how much anger there is online and division and just the inability to have conversations, even if you don't agree on something. And so I just try my best to have conversations and say what I know and try to minimize anger and frustration as much as possible. But there's no way it's possible to have zero fighting, because whatever you post, someone's
sure
about something, even if it makes no sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's dive in let's define what is integrative pediatrics, what you practice versus maybe more what people think of as, I don't know, allopathic or classical Western traditional pediatrics.
Sure. To me, it means blending the best of modern Western medicine with natural and alternative practices. So I'm not against Western medicine at all. I just think there's a time and a place, and we're so out of balance with our health these days. And there's so many other amazing options out there in the world in terms of healing and health and support for our kids and for health in general. And so to me, I try to balance both. I'm not against a medication when you need it. It's just I try to avoid using medications as much as possible and try to use natural remedies whenever it's reasonable. And so that, to me, again, it goes back to like the balance between both worlds and trying to take the best of the new and the best of the old or the alternative.
Yeah, I couldn't said it better myself. I think it's what's needed in many, many scenarios. And I think, as you said on your feed as well, that sort of black and white thinking or polarity or all or nothing mentality, it really hardly ever works in many situations. So there is a beauty to some blending and some moderate or centrist thinking. Well, as you said, we're kind of in a difficult spot right now with chronic disease rates are over 50% in children right now. What is that statistic compared to older times, and like what's going on with all of that right now?
Yeah, it's crazy when you look at the numbers, and whatever study or publication you look at, it's going to have a little bit of a different number, but it's, you know, somewhere around 50% for kids. It's over 50% for adults, you know, whether it's 45 or 47 or 52, it doesn't really matter. It's a crazy number, regardless of how you look at it. And it's like one out of two children have a chronic disease, meaning something that they're taking a medication for every day or something that they're dealing with every day for long periods of time, like asthma, allergies, eczema, rheumatologic conditions. And that is not the way that it was many, many years ago. Sure, you could say, and people argue sometimes, oh, well, we're better at recording it and reporting it. And I'm sure that's true to a little bit of a degree, but it's nowhere near explaining what is going on. We are not healthy. We're way less healthy than we were 20 or 50 years ago. Obesity rates are skyrocketing. Chronic disease rates are skyrocketing. It just keeps going up and up and up. And nobody seems to be doing anything about it or talking about it. And that's terrifying to me. We have to be raising the flag and saying, like, we're not doing something right. How old we are when we're dying is going down. It's like our life expectancy is going down. It's there's something wrong with that. These things should be going up, and they had been for so many decades. And all of a sudden now we're going in the other direction. And I think there are many reasons for that, but at least at a minimum, we need to identify that there is a problem.
So in that regard, then let's talk about essential oils a bit. Discuss essential oils in general from your perspective as an integrative pediatric practitioner.
Yeah, I think oils are a wonderful tool, and it's something that we have in the office. It's something that we offer to patients should they want it. It's a really, really easy, almost always safe option that you can either do as a first line support for something that's going on, that you can add to a regimen for just about anything. I mean, there are oils for everything. And if you know how to use them and you use a good quality oil and you don't use, you know, too much of it for too long, then you really, your risks are so minimal. And when you're comparing your risk in comparison to a medication, obviously an oil has a much lower risk in general, especially for kids. And again, going back to what you said, if there are options of some things that you can do to support your health that have a lower side effect profile, then why not do that? And there are simple oils you could use, like lavender or frankincense or peppermint or eucalyptus. And at those first signs of a viral illness or for calming, and why not try that? And if that works and you don't have to use a medication, great. You still might need to go to the doctor. You still might need a medication. But these are great tools to support, and maybe it could help you to decrease your need of a medication if it's for anxiety or something along those lines. I mean, it just depends. That's why you need to work with a good practitioner, and it's very situation specific. But to me, it's an excellent tool when you look at like the tree branches of different things that you could use to support children. Essential oils seems like a very natural option, given it has so many years of research and so many years of use, and it's natural products in oil form. I mean, it's basic as it gets, basically.
Yeah. And it's so accessible. I think that's one of my favorite things as well. You know, people can just easily order a good quality oil online and it comes to their door and boom, you know, you've got these things, and they don't really spoil if you store them properly, right? Store them in a cool, dry place, not in direct sunlight. And you know, it's a good investment to have around in your toolkit for sure. And easy as just opening the bottle. And sometimes as easy as just smelling, right. In some circumstances, you don't even need to apply it or take it. You literally just have to smell it. I mean, how cool is that?
Exactly. And then, I mean, when you're talking about like bang for your buck, if it works for you, if it works in the situation, you can get a whole bottle of many oils for not that much when you compare to how much a medication would cost. If you're taking like a drop of an oil and you have a bottle of it, and I don't know, it's like $20 or $30 or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You think about that over the lifespan of a bottle of an oil. And if it's giving you a benefit versus you need to take a medication for months, there are very few items that you get, I think, such a good value for the effect in the right situations.
Yeah, let's talk about some of those situations. I think one of the biggest skepticisms that people can bring towards essential oils, and rightly so, is just sort of this, yeah, is it really going to work? You know, I mean, that people don't want to waste their money on things that aren't going to work. And not to say that the same oil is going to work for every person who's dealing with the same symptom or situation. Like, as you said, it's situational. That's what I think medicine should be all about. It's all about the individual patient person that's sitting there in front of you. But if we were to talk about kind of generalities, what are some of the most common things that you'll have people dealing with that you may recommend certain oils for? And generally people have a good chance of it working for them.
I would say that the two biggest categories, which would be the most accessible for people because it's something that makes sense, they've heard before, they've seen it, and there is actually lots of research on it, would be, one would be like stress and anxiety, and then the other would be colds, like cold, like minor viral illness, cold support, those kind of things. So when we're talking about, say, colds first, I mean, everyone remembers like the Vicks vapor rub and the chest rubs and all the things that grandma, you know, used to do back in the day in terms of like some sort of stronger smelling aroma that helps open up your nasal passages, like a eucalyptus or a peppermint or something like that. But there's actually tons of research that's true, that they do work and they do help, and they are supportive of the body when you're going through a viral illness, especially when it comes to breathing and helping open up the nasal passages and things like that. So I think that's not super woo-woo for most people. And you don't necessarily have to go buy a chemical product like a rub. You can just make it yourself. You can get some coconut oil, you can get some oils and do that. And the research is pretty clear. Now, there is some research that says that you should avoid doing it in a little baby just because the smells might be too strong for them. But other than that, there's very minimal risk for using a good quality oil, and you can definitely get some benefit. And again, if it helps you even 1%, then why not? If it can give your kid some relief before going to bed or breathe a little bit better during the day, and they're not going to be taking a medication anyways, then that to me is a no-brainer option for where it could be super helpful, especially in those first symptoms. Certainly if it's getting worse mm-hmm. and worry about breathing and that kind of stuff, of course you want to go see your doctor. That might be different. Maybe that's not where an oil would be the right thing to do. But when it's a minor cold and you're not going to use a medication anyways, then that one seems like a great opportunity to get some oils in. And instead of going to the pharmacy and getting a Benadryl or a cold syrup or, you know, cough syrup, mm-hmm. something like that, where if this works, great. If it doesn't, then maybe you do more.
Yeah, absolutely. And it helps you not feel so powerless too. I mean, my daughter just recently last week got the flu. She got the award from the pediatrician as the latest flu in the season. Because it was flu B that she got right smack in the middle of April. Mm-hmm. And it was, awful. I mean, flu B is like the stomach flu, and you're just, you can't keep anything down. You're just throwing up left and right. You've got this horrible fever, makes you achy. She was, poor thing, pretty miserable. And, you know, there's not much that you can do. I mean, you have the choice. You can take Tamiflu, which I'd like to pick your brain on that a little bit, because I've seen you speak on that before. I mean, other than that, there's not much you can really do except try to make them more comfortable, boost their immune system where you can, push the fluids where you can. But I would apply a digestive oil blend to the bottom of her feet and on her like nausea pressure point that a lot of people are familiar with, like C-bands and the spot that those sit on, somewhat near where your watch is at on the inner arm. And just rubbing some of that on her pressure points was so helpful for her, you know, when she was just on the verge of like, I'm so miserable. You know, I was able to do that for her, and you could see it. It's almost an instant reaction, a visible just relaxation that can come in of, that helps. That helped. And that's a really powerful feeling for sure.
I think that it's minimal risk, and anecdotally, just like that story, right? I mean, so many people say how much they feel like it benefits them. There is definitely lots of research out there that it shows some benefit. And even if you don't believe in it, even if you think it's just placebo is such a huge benefit to patients in general. I mean, look at any study and it's like 20-30% improvement just from placebo alone. And just the mere that you're together, you're close, you're giving them like a massage of the pressure point. They're feeling a comfort, they're feeling an ease. You feel like you're doing something, they feel like you're doing something. All of these things are of benefit. Even if you don't believe that the peppermint oil is the thing that's magically working and helping them. Fine. I don't care. Whatever people believe. That's fine. You know, everyone has their different opinions. I think it does work personally, but I think that everyone's entitled to their opinions. But you can't argue with the results and the closeness and the parent-child relationship that there is some help there to get, putting that on and giving them some massage and having a closeness. So to me, there's no, almost no downside at all, no matter what you
yeah.
think.
Yeah, I agree. Which, let's compare that. I'll bring it back to the Tamiflu situation a little bit. You know, compare what are the side effects of an essential oil, right, versus the side effect list of Tamiflu, and you compare that to the effectiveness. That's where some of that logical thinking sometimes is really helpful. And I'm not saying people should never use Tamiflu. I mean, I've definitely used it in the past, but I'm curious on your thoughts on that.
Right, exactly how you said it. I agree. I mean, there are certain situations where medications can be helpful, but you have to look at the data that you have on a medication and how effective is that in the specific situation that you have. And if it's not that effective, which for the most part Tamiflu is not, there's tons of research on it, and you know, maybe it decreases your illness by about half a day in the best case scenario if you take it really early. And most people don't know they have flu in the first day or two anyways. So by the time you're taking it, it's too late. And there's a very significant side effect profile from nausea and stomach aches and more vomiting, which is not helpful when you're already vomiting. And there's neuropsychiatric concerns as well with Tamiflu. So there are a lot of potential concerns.
What kind of neuropsychiatric concerns?
A lot of people say they get like very agitated. They might have bad dreams.
Okay. Like temporary.
Yeah, temporary. So temporary side effects. But again, it's side effects and they're not fun. And if you're taking a medication to get better and it gives you side effects, then if you're not really making that much better, then is it worth it? And that's the question, right? Is it worth it? And are you getting that much more benefit from a medication than from an essential oil? If you're going to get better anyways, if you're going to give yourself a side effect, then it's not worth it. So that's where it's this balance that you have to weigh. And in a medical system where there's only research on medications, it's like, oh, you should take this medication. But if you don't need the medication and it potentially can give you side effects, then sometimes doing something natural is the right option. But then there are other times where there's a kid that is very sick, that's very complicated, that has a complex history, or maybe a Tamiflu is the right thing for them. So you can never say never, but for the average child who isn't that sick and has a flu, for the most part, they don't need Tamiflu, and they probably don't need anything except hydration and rest. But there are some other things like oils, which could be of benefit to help them get through that you know, the worst of it, that day two or three or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a certain comfort that we've been taught from a young age, which is, well, medications, sure, they have side effects, but at least we have documented it and kind of know what they are, so we can weigh the pros and cons. And they've been through this rigorous testing process and they've been approved by the FDA, and they're in this pipeline of normality. And so no one's going to deny that medications don't have side effects, but I think there's a certain comfort in normality in that versus the unknown, right? The natural world, the essential oils, the herbs, the tinctures, the crystals, the whatever, because right. though that category, those things are not FDA approved for many, many reasons. They're not FDA approved because they don't work and they're dangerous. There's a whole other, that's a whole other conversation and a different ballgame, right. But no, that's but just to say that they're not, yeah.
I do think it's important because I think that is the crux of it, right? It's right. It's not that what we do in medicine, like a medication, is bad. And we want the research. I mean, you want to know what side effects are. You want to know how effective something is. But just because we have research on something doesn't mean that's the right thing to do in your case. For something like an essential oil, it could actually work better if it was tested properly. I don't know, right? Like most of these things don't have the blind controlled trials because who's doing that? Because there's no money behind it. Right. We just don't have the research. And I don't know if they do work some of these things or not in a double blind controlled trial in comparison to a medication. But that is what we should have. I mean, you literally should have peppermint oil versus Tamiflu or, you know, some bunch of natural things, and then see which one is better. And I bet you actually did those.
But who's going to pay for that? Tamiflu company's not going to pay for that.
Exactly. They're not going to pay. They're only going to do a study on their medication, and they want to show that their medication works as compared to not working. But it's not comparing it to other options that are available that are natural, and not comparing it to, well, if these two things are equal, which one has fewer side effects? Well, that's the one I want to do for my child. But I don't know that. We don't really know. So it's not that the company is doing anything bad or evil. It's just what they do. But we as parents have to weigh the information and then make some decisions based on a lack of some information, but also an understanding of what the side effects might be from a medication. So just at least picking and choosing when we choose to do a medication. That's what I try to at least impart upon my patients and things online. It's just, you have to advocate for your children, because the medical system is pharmaceutical, and that's fine, but you just have to realize that and realize that that isn't always the only option.
Yeah, that's well put. The medical system, it is heavily on the medicated side, or, you know, prescribing medications, that's what they do. And it's also within the context and the framing of a litigious society. I mean, that's a whole other factor that when you're sitting in a doctor's office, you're having that conversation with them, you have to understand and remember that they have to work within a certain framework partly because of that danger of being sued or being taken to court. We live in a very litigious society for sure, but that doesn't mean that you have to agree or make that same decision, because you as a parent aren't necessarily within that same framework and working within that same context. So you do have a lot more freedoms as a parent to advocate for your child than maybe necessarily that pediatrician is. And that's not to say that they're evil. It's just that that's the reality of the world that they're living in.
Yeah. I mean, these are some deep topics, but we're getting into them, so it's fine. But I like it. But that is true. I mean, that is the way that doctors think, right? I mean, you are held to a standard of what is the standard of care on this disease that you're seeing, or this illness that you're seeing, or whatever's presenting you, and what would an average reasonable doctor do? And if an average reasonable doctor based on the system now would prescribe a medication, like let's say an antibiotic for an ear infection or something like that, and you don't do it, and then it comes back later and you do get sued, then the question is, well, why didn't you do this? This is what other doctors would have done. So why not? And it doesn't mean that it's the right thing in your situation, but a doctor has to think about, well, what is the worst case scenario of what could happen? I'll give you, like, especially with urgent care, I guess that's the best example, like urgent care. Well, if this cough, could it be a pneumonia, bronchitis? I don't know. Maybe it's easier to give you medication, and that way I've treated you, and it's covers your butt, as opposed to, well, you know, maybe come back in a couple of days for that, like, one time where the kid does get really sick, but you probably, in your case, actually don't need the medication most of the time, right? So it's like they're doing what they think. And sometimes you actually do need a medication, of course, right?
Right. But
sometimes you don't, and it's just kind of that borderline where it's safer to treat you than to not, but treatments come with side effects. And so that's where you as the parent have to be like, is this really needed? Or is it not? And I just did a natural parenting course, and I talked about this, because I talk about medication exactly this kind of scenario. And what I mention a lot in that program is like, you have to ask the doctor, like, do I need to take this? Like, that's the thing that I tell parents to talk to. It's like, what are you treating? Do I need to take it right now? Can I wait a couple of days? You know, what's the scenario? Because there is a lot of times where they're going to treat you, but like, maybe you don't need to actually start it this very second. Or other times they're like, yes, this is serious. You have to do it. It's important. Like, that's a good conversation. Right. Most people don't have it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I always say, yeah, I'll take the medication. I mean, if the doctor wants to prescribe me any drugs, I take them. I mean, I'll take the prescription. I'll go get it filled and it'll sit in my closet. But I'd say 80 to maybe even 90% of the time, I never even open the bottle because I ended up not needing it. Now, that's a privileged position. I'm able to, you know, have the insurance or have the money to go buy that medication just in case, right? I think that's part of my, I can definitely play into that, like, fear factor of stockpiling, right? I'm like, well, what's the harm in stockpiling these drugs? What if there's a zombie apocalypse? I'll be ready, you know. But so really. I like to have them, but just, yeah. You know, but I've
been asking that question for a long time. You know, do I have to take this now? What I'll sometimes ask, what would happen when I go home that would to you say, oh, I really need to take this like right now? That's right. A good question.
Right. Exactly. And that's exactly what I talk about in the course, because, and what I talk to patients about, because if you go to an urgent care and like, I'm not there with them, and the doctor just prescribes you something reflexively because it's easier and safer for them. If you ask them the question, I guarantee you 9 out of 10 times, they're going to say, if not more, they're going to say, well, you don't need, it might be viral. So you like give it another day or two and see if it gets better. And since 90%+ of the infections are viral, that means that it's going to get better anyways with antibiotics or without antibiotics. So the antibiotics right. aren't doing anything. You're just treating it and then it gets better, which it would have done anyways. So if you have that conversation, then that I think can help give you a better understanding of what they're thinking and whether they're treating you just because, or they're treating you because you tested positive on a test for strep throat and you need the antibiotic because you don't want to get, you know, rheumatic fever or something. Like there are very different scenarios, and you're going to be able to get an answer from that doctor straight up, like, no, you need to take it today, or I don't know. And that can really save you from potentially using some antibiotics that you don't need to, and you're not stockpiling them. You're just having them in case you need them. And because it's a prescription that you were given and you may or may not need it, you don't know, but mm-hmm. it's better to have it and not need it than not having it and need it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I say about essential oils too, for people, you know, it's nice to have them, you know, because you can't, you know, be dealing with something and then say, oh, I think peppermint would help with this. Let me go order some. And then 3 days later you get it. It's nice to just kind of have them on hand for sure. So Dr. Warsh or Dr. Gator, I wanted to ask a little bit more about essential oils and some of the ways that you've used them yourself or seen people use them that seem really effective.
Yeah, the other big category that I mentioned, I would say, would be stress or anxiety. I mean, everybody's stressed these days. Everybody's anxious. And the answer to that is definitely not a pill. I mean, it can be for some people in the very short term if it's very, very severe. But most of what we're seeing is this chronic low-grade stress, especially when it comes to kids. And so I think essential oils is a perfect way to help with that. We definitely know that smells can instantly put you in a new location, or can calm your body or calm your nervous system. And so that to me is for sure one of the most effective ways that you can find some oils that are calming for your kids or yourself, whether that be lavender, probably maybe the most common, but you don't have to have an answer as to what's going to calm you down before knowing. You can just smell different oils and figure out what works for you and have that with you. And you can either put a little bit on your skin, or you can just smell it when you are stressed. You can give your kid little rollers or pen, like little things that they can have with them at school or things like that. And if they do get stressed, then you can just have a little bit of a smell and how is that bad? Like, compared to taking a medication. I mean, it's crazy to me that that's not just an option that everybody has at this point, given the world stresses.
What about personally? Like, do you have any stories for yourself or your own kid? You have a son, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's 3.
Are there any scenarios that you can think of or stories that you found essential oils particularly effective?
Yeah, I think the biggest one for him, I mean, he hasn't been too sick, which is, you know, thankful. He's been just mild things a couple of times, but when he did have colds, we used some coconut oil and some peppermint or eucalyptus just to rub on his feet and his back just for that. So that would be one situation. Other than that, I mean, we've been pretty lucky. He's been pretty healthy, so we haven't used a ton for him. We certainly have essential oils at the office, so I can say, like, it's used on a very daily basis here in terms of having it nice smells when people come into the office and trying to keep a calm wellness center type of environment versus, you know, medical office per se. So to me, it's just nice to have the calming smells around all day. I would say that after going through and being in this office for a few years now, it's amazing to me how many parents come in and comment about the smells and like, oh, it smells so nice in here. Oh, like it has such nice, like, you don't really think about it, but people don't go to places like that. So I guess we see it from the other side, because I hear it all the time when people walk in from them. And it reminds me that it is valuable, because somebody wouldn't say that unless it's giving them some benefit. It's like, oh, I'm walking in here and it makes me feel something. If it makes you feel something, it means it's doing something. It means it can work.
Yes, absolutely. Right? I think the same is true on the opposite too. Like people know when they don't like something, right? When something makes them not like smell something that makes them nauseous. Like it's an instinct that we have to say, oh, this isn't good for me, or oh, I really like this. And I think we're kind of quick to dismiss the, oh, I really like this instinct for things that maybe we should embrace a little more.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Well, I want to point out just a few of my favorite posts that you've done on your Instagram account. And one of them, I think my favorite that made me laugh so much was, fact, moms don't overpack for trips. They simply come equipped because everyone else in the family is always under-effing prepared. And I just really like that one. You have a great sense of humor and sort of reality that I appreciate. And then this other one that says, I've got 99 problems, but healing my gut solved like 86 of them. I love that too. But overall, a lot of your content revolves around this idea of creating health over mm-hmm. preventing disease. And I think that's kind of what you talked about with your son. You know, he doesn't really get sick that much because you focus a lot of your work as a parent, I imagine, around keeping your kid really healthy. And I appreciate that perspective. Would you say that that's kind of one of the more frustrating aspects that you see in modern medicine is sort of a not embrace of that?
Yeah, for sure. The modern medicine doesn't really think about prevention. I mean, almost at all, because there's not really time to do that. If you see a patient for 3 minutes, I mean, how much time can you spend talking about their diet or sleep or exercise or stress? I mean, you just don't have the time for that. So you can't really focus on, it's not the doctor's fault. It's just, that's the system. But most of your health is the day-to-day choices that you make and the food that you buy and the toxins that you either do or do not slather on your skin, or the chemical free or the chemical full things that you buy. I mean, it's all of these decisions that in the long term contribute to your health. And that's where you say, like, my son hasn't really been sick. I don't know. Maybe it's that maybe he's just very resilient and healthy and it doesn't matter what we're doing. But I think that a lot of it is just to do with the fact that he eats pretty healthy. He has a well-balanced diet. He's very active. He's outside every day. We live in nature, you know, these kinds of things. I think that gives him more resilience immune system, and so that keeps his sicknesses at bay and doesn't get sick as much as most of the kids that I take care of. I don't know, maybe he has to do that, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's just a very healthy, lucky child, and hopefully we're not jinxing him.
Well, that would be terrible. Well, thank you so much. This has been really illuminating, and I appreciate your candor and your conversations. Is there anything else you want to share before we move on to our closing questions?
No, I'd just say, you know, for anyone that wants to follow me, mention Instagram is a good place. Dr. Joel Gator. I also have, Raising Amazing Plus. That's the website that, I have a bunch of courses, a course that a lot of your listeners will probably love will be the Naturally Parenting course. That's the newest one that I just made. And I talk about natural parents navigating the medical system and talk about things like prescription and natural remedies and choosing a practitioner that's right for them. And a lot of the frustrations that parents feel. And it's something that I've been working on for a while because parents just kept asking me, like, how do I find a doctor like you? Or how do I deal with this? Or how do I talk to my doctor about essential oils? And so I tried my best to at least impart what I know, and people have really enjoyed that. So I think if you want to check that out, raisingamazingplus.com.
Well, Dr. Gator, we always like to ask a couple closing questions before we say goodbye. And the first is, what's one or two self-care practices you try to do every day to stay healthy?
Number one is being mindful of my schedule and trying not to be too over busy. So I really try to get home at a reasonable time every day and not overpack my schedule. So that way I'm not super stressed all the time. And I would say trying to eat healthy every day and as much as I can, and then going for walks. And especially like at the middle of the day, I try at lunch to get outside and get some sunlight and get a walk every day just to get out of the office for even 20 minutes. So just being mindful of my stress levels and basic stuff like eating and walking.
Mm-hmm. And finally, what's just one thing we should all ditch completely and replace with something healthier today?
We should ditch the chemicals in our food. We should ditch not reading labels and start reading labels for everything. So every single time you go to purchase anything, you should be looking at the labels and try to ditch all the long chemically sounding things that you don't even know what they are, because they're probably not good for you.
All right. Well, you've already mentioned a good place for people to reach out to you, raisingamazingplus.com or Dr. Joel Gator on Instagram is a great place. You have multiple courses, including one on natural parents. And I understand you've given a discount code to our listeners for that.
Yeah, if you use RA20, so like Raising Amazing 20, RA20, then you can get a 20% discount on that if you want to grab that.
Right. I wish that I had come across your resources much earlier in my parenting journey. So thank you for what you do. You're making a huge difference. And again, thanks for being a positive place on the internet. I just think we need to thank people for that more often.
And thank you for everything that you do in spreading, you know, essential oils and natural health, because especially when it comes to kids, but adults too, I mean, but especially kids, there's not enough information out there and good information. So I really appreciate all that you do as well.
Thank you. Well, it was wonderful having you here on the show, and thanks for sharing your wisdom on the essential oil revolution. We appreciate you.
Thanks.
The Essential Oil Revolution is created by me, Samantha Lee Ryden. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll catch you here next week with a brand new episode on the Essential Oil Revolution. In the meantime, though, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.